Okay. Let's get going here. Hour number three. Before we get started with the formal part of this hour, I want to make a little short announcement. Tonight, this very hour, marks the one-year anniversary since Erica Kahn and I began working together to bring these programs to all of you here in the U.S., in Europe, and around the world. It's really hard to believe that we are actually covering and reporting on a story of this horror and gravity, but we are, and we are doing our absolute utmost to make sure you have the very best information to make what may well be a life or death decision for you and your loved ones. I also want all of you to know that Erica, an MIT grad in biophysiology with a focus on nanotechnology, has spared no effort in her research and scanning the net constantly for new information to analyze, digest, and present on the program for all of you to, again, achieve a level of knowledge and understanding that otherwise would be impossible. I honestly think that in all my years of journalism, I have never done anything more important and been working with anyone more brilliant than Erica Kahn. And I hope all of you appreciate it. And if you want to drop a note, say hello to us and let us know what you think about it, just use contactrents@earthlink.net. contactrents@earthlink.net. We appreciate you, and we're doing our absolute very best. Welcome back, Erica.
Well, thank you, Jeff. That was very kind of you. And no, it's been quite a privilege and an honor to be able to contribute to this effort. I don't think any one of us has all the answers, so the more we share, the more we can gain some insights into what's being done to us. So I'm happy to share my knowledge, and I don't claim to have all the answers, but I'm generous with what I come across.
You certainly are. I have never seen anyone work harder and with more adroit intelligence than Erica. She is just all over things, and I think many of you who have listened understand that she has connected dots that I couldn't even dream of connecting. And we have made, as speculative science will allow, some extraordinary, I think, contributions to our understanding of what is in all likelihood being done, as she said, to us. It is extremely malicious, extremely sophisticated and complex, but we have been able to, with honest speculation, but with some extraordinary academic brilliance behind it, to come up with some pretty workable answers. And I'm very proud of it. I think I'm more proud of this than anything I've done in all the years I've been in the business. So I hope it's made a difference to all of you, a difference. And if you want to write, just go write us to contactrents@earthlink.net and let us know what you think. Anything else?
Yeah, well, we'll keep plugging, see where we go with this.
Well, where we're going is a bumpy road. And
to say the least.
Yes, indeed. And we will be with all of you to help you to the best of our ability. That's what journalism and broadcasting and science is supposed to be about, not about our annihilation and enslavement. But that is what we are up against. And for all of you out there who are vaxxed, don't give up. We are looking always for ways to perhaps offer some answers. But trust me, there are people out there who are unfortunately making a buck on people's grief and suffering. Sitting in an alfalfa bath is not going to cure you of being injected with this vicious, deadly bioweapon. Ain't going to happen. This is a very complicated issue. So watch out. Don't be a sucker. Stay close to the information, and that will be right here for you. These people who sell things like that, just, I've seen it all my life. Whenever there's a crisis or a catastrophe, there's somebody trying to take advantage.
That's no more true than it is right now. And I don't know if there's... ill intent behind it or greed. I think a lot of people just don't understand the technology that's being employed. Because there's never been a so-called vaccine like this. I mean, we've never had genetic experimentation in humans the way we have right now. And people, they don't comprehend what it is.
No.
I mean, this is not about just getting heavy metals out of your body. This far exceeds the typical detox of a typical or traditional vaccine.
This has absolutely, and I've said this 100 times, so has Erica, nothing to do with a vaccine.
No.
Nothing.
Mm-mm.
This is a bioweapon created, designed, tested, and deployed to do one thing, to take the planet down, i.e. genocide. And the most insidiously evil part of it is they are getting filthy rich in the process.
They sure are.
Okay, let's go ahead and jump in, gang. What do you say? We've got a lot here on the table for you tonight. We may not get through all of it, but we're going to give it a try. I also think, Erica, real quickly, we should thank Nurse Anne, who has been with us a number of times now. She has brought some remarkable inside information to us and to all of you. She works in a major hospital in New York in the area there. We'll leave it at that. But she deserves all of our thanks as well.
Oh, definitely. She's made an incredible contribution with her frontline experience and very, very candid.
She tells it exactly like she sees it. And boy, does she see things that I'm sure she never dreamed she'd see. I asked her the last time she was on, and some of you remember this, I said, have you seen anyone actually recover, I'm paraphrasing what I said, in the hospital, get better, and be released and go home healthy? She said no.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
It's not no surprise when you understand what's happening to these people's bodies.
It's sum it up real quick, Eric, in 60 seconds or less, whatever. What is happening to their bodies? People who have been injected, or, we don't want to forget, those who have been shed upon. What's happening
to
their bodies?
Well, it seems, in large part, to be a process of spike poisoning. The spike that's being produced in the bodies of the vaxxed and is somehow entering the environment to be picked up by the unvaxxed is biologically active and extremely toxic. And in the bodies of the vaxxed, it appears to be causing microvasculature issues, clotting. And so essentially, over a period of time, and it looks like that time frame might be 9 months to a year, the vital organs become starved of oxygen and nutrients, and they begin to die. And when they get to a hospital, they're in the process of this multi-system organ failure, and there's literally nothing they can do to save them.
That sums it up. The immune system upon which we depend to remain relatively healthy and to enjoy life is being destroyed.
That too.
But it's being done so many different ways. This is so insidious, the whole thing. All right,
mm-hmm.
That's enough. Now, I've got a note here from one of our friends, and you're all friends, and I'm just going to read it real quickly. He said, I lived for 11 months in Java, in Borneo, and 2 weeks in Bali. I stay in touch with people I met there. Some are very good friends to this day. Here's what one woman living in Kalimantan, I believe that's how you pronounce it, just told me. Now, I read this little piece of writing to let you know that it's not just happening here. Don't ever make that mistake. It's happening around the world. Here's the quote. Regarding vaccination, I have stories to share. My friend, blank, who married an Indonesian and set up a permaculture foundation with her husband, said that many people in the village near blank died right after they were vaccinated. They got very sick and died in a week. Her friend told her that several people he knows also died after being vaccinated. My sister had her first vaccination and became severely sick with shingles. Pain she had made her feel like she would die because she couldn't breathe. It took her 3 months to finally feel better. End quote. That's just a note from Bali, okay? I just want you to understand that this is going on all around the world. Maybe not to the same degree, but people are dying worldwide. The claim is that about 400 million people have received 2 to 3 vaccines, death weapons, bioweapons, around the world. 2 to 3 shots in 4 billion people. That's a lot of people. Now, if you remember that Chinese communist video that we played a couple weeks ago, the guy there said, well, don't worry about the Americans. Everyone who's taken a shot is finished. So we'll see about that. Nobody gives up here. But it's a worldwide phenomenon, and don't forget that.
Yep, sure is.
Okay. Now, as I hope all of you well know, Dr. Robert Malone has become a very shrewd, slick, very articulate person who has become sought after by many for his opinion, his advice, and so forth. His CV is a mile long. You know who Dr. Malone is. Here's a little 1 minute video. Now, the interviewer asked him what he thought of Bill Gates. Now, This is very interesting because he defends Bill Gates, and I want you to watch carefully how he does it. It's very interesting.
Bill Gates was not a coder. Okay? He was not a software engineer. That's not his gift. He is a monopolist. He is an excellent monopolist. He built Microsoft on the bones of IBM and everybody else. He captured that industry. He captured the browser industry, and the government basically shut him down. Remember Explorer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what did he do when he got shut down and embarrassed? And there's those videotapes of his testimony where he's rocking. Okay, you've got a background in psychology. What did he do? He tried to rehabilitate himself. How did he do that? He moved into philanthropic work in public health. And what he has done, it's like the tiger can't change his stripes, leopard can't change his spots. He has systematically monopolized the global response to infectious disease.
Now, okay, did you hear any real criticism in there at all, anywhere? No, not a word. He just has a little predilection for wanting to monopolize everything, okay? Just a little bit of a personality quirk. That's what we got. But do remember that Bob Malone's wife, Jill Glasspool, listed Gates as either number one or one of the top 3 or 4 influencers in her life, as well as Melinda Gates and Richard Branson and the unbelievable Tony Robbins. I mean, this just goes on and on. So you wouldn't expect him to really go after Bill Gates, and he didn't.
That's almost unbelievable. I mean, you know, to neglect his track record in both India and Africa with his so-called vaccines, sterility vaccines, vaccines that crippled and maimed, 400,000 in India? Does that sound like philanthropy to you?
Right. Just a little quirk. Likes has to monopolize things so he has more security. The idea of his father, remember Bill Gates' father, a eugenicist, it runs in the family, so to speak. So anyway, what you're dealing with, is a completely controlled media that will tell you whatever it thinks its controllers think you need to hear. And that's all you're going to hear. Okay? So, again, we put this out there not to knock Bobby Malone or his wife, but to let you know that the game is rigged. Rigged.
Yeah. You know, and he's also on record. There was a newspaper headline a number of years ago where he is boasting about the fact that they're going to use vaccines for population control.
He laid it right out.
He did.
He called it. No games. Here's what's coming. And less than a year ago, he was telling us that Marburg was the next thing we were going to see. And I don't think he said Ebola, but he might as well have. It's the same kind of thing. So they do have a habit, the controllers, of telling us what they're going to do. It's what they do.
Yeah, and it's gain-of-function research is still ongoing. I mean, that Peter Daszak from EcoHealth Alliance just got a 5-year contract of $82 million to study Nipah virus and Marburg and all these Southeast Asian jungle viruses. So, and it's ongoing. So they're going to create the pathogens and then let them loose on us and then sell us a cure.
It's
supposedly
like shooting fish in a barrel. That's all I can think of, or worse. Now, who is behind all of this? Who is running the show? All right, and this program is not now, nor has it ever been, what they call anti-Semitic. It is an honest forum for reality. And the reality of it is 0.37% of the world population runs the world. And that 0.37% identify as being Jewish. Okay. That's fine. Here's a Jewish man talking about the COVID pandemic as being a Jewish operation to make money. And my God, have the pharmaceuticals been making money. Unbelievable amounts of money. You heard the story about the bonuses that the hospitals get, right? Overseeing the I'll call it what it is, execution of people who are coming in there with the flu or even a chest cold, and they're immediately given the diagnosis of COVID, put on remdesivir, and they're dead 2 weeks later or sooner. So here, this is another shorty. Now listen to this. This is a Jewish man. He's wearing a yarmulke, and he's telling his truth. I'm not saying he's speaking for all Jews, but you need to hear this to understand how many of them think.
The Jews were behind the invention and creation of these COVID vaccines that are going to save humanity now from what would be an unbelievable, unspeakable catastrophe. Now, you'd have a catastrophe here where untold numbers, untold millions would die, and the economies of the entire world would collapse, would crash and collapse if this thing went on for another few years, which is what would happen if not for Jewish brains. It was Jewish brains that created these two COVID vaccines. And by the way, just to show you who specifically we're speaking about, so that we're not making this up, the Moderna vaccine. Okay, the Moderna vaccine, the chief medical officer in charge of research and development, the person who was in charge of putting it all together, is the Israeli scientist Tal Zaks, who is an Israeli who does interviews on Israeli media in Hebrew. He left Israel. He's one of these Israelis who left Israel because he's greedy and he wants more money. And he claims he wants to go where the science permits him to do the most good. So full of crap. Pfizer. Who's the CEO of Pfizer? In other words, the person who heads the company. Albert Bourla, who is a Greek Jew. Albert Bourla is a Jew from Greece. And the chief Pfizer scientist who worked on the research, in other words, the company, the person who got the financing, everything else, was Albert Bourla, the CEO. He's the one who was the executive in charge, who organized everything to enable financing and enable all the work and research to go forward the way it's supposed to go forward. That took Jewish brains. And then, who was the chief scientist? Chief scientist is Mikhail Dolsten, a Jew from Sweden. The Jews were in charge of the research, the science. They were the scientists. They're the main researchers. The Jews are the ones that led the company efforts and the ones that brought these vaccines, that created these vaccines. Both COVID vaccines that are now going to rescue humanity, both were created by Jews.
Okay. That particular gentleman is very proud of his idea that these are vaccines, which of course they're not. So whoever created these vaccines, and I think he would probably suggest it was fellow Jews, has created the most deadly pathogen known to man, the spike protein, like Dr. Chetty tells us.
That's exactly right. Hard to imagine a protein more toxic than this thing.
And the more we look into it, and I'd say we, it's Erica who's doing the work, the more she looks into it and the more we discuss what she finds, I'm just absolutely overwhelmed with the diversity, the sophistication of this deadly bioweapon. It is not a vaccine. And I will say it again, any doctor, any of the media doctors you see, when they call this a vaccine, shame on them.
Yeah, it's not a vaccine. Vaccines are supposed to prevent infection and prevent transmission, and this one does neither of those. Neither. And if anything, as time has borne out, it induces a susceptibility to the COVID virus, the SARS virus, and in addition to a raft of other conditions.
A raft. A big raft.
Yeah. Not the least of which is cancer.
We have Erica called this months ago. She said, Jeff, we're headed toward a pandemic of cancer. And what are you seeing now? An explosion of cancers that are so deadly because they have no immune system to oppose them, i.e. cases of cancer. They roll through people and they're killing people in literally a week in some cases. A week.
Yeah. 1 to 2 weeks, yeah. I mean, that account of the patient of Nurse Ann's that she mentioned the other night, 55-year-old woman who was healthy, fit, healthy, not overweight, and had a full checkup, mammogram 8 months prior, everything checked out normal. And then when she presented to the ER, she was deteriorating. She had just had a booster, Moderna, I think, or Pfizer the week before, and was not feeling well. And with the 3 days that she was stuck in the emergency room waiting to be evaluated, she deteriorated to the point where they had to put her on a vent. And further testing revealed that her body was riddled with cancer.
As in riddled with cancer, as in head to foot riddled.
Yeah, her entire thoracic cavity, bones.
And you think happened accidentally, friends? Forget it. This is all so diabolically and satanically planned. I honestly don't have enough words to even begin to assay the crisis that we face. We are in the middle of it right now.
It's incredible. And it's amazing that not everybody can see it. In fact, they're still defending it.
Well,
get your vaccine.
Another thing, and I'm going to play some of this John Looney video. Very nice to hear. You'll hear his voice strong again like it was. When you go out, notice, first of all, is the traffic in your town or wherever you are, normal, the volume. I've talked to several people. I've seen, Erica has seen, there is far less traffic out. There might be a 60-70% drop in some areas. It's just not there.
It's really strange. I don't know what it is. Are more people working from home? Are they just not working?
Or are they not breathing?
Sick? Right. I don't know.
They may be dead. It's probably all of the above. Gary Holland in Las Vegas told us that he goes down residential streets and they're Monday through Friday, and every driveway's got cars in it. So these people are not working. They're not going off to do what people used to do, which was earn a living.
Or simply socialize. I think there's a fear factor now in socializing.
All right, we have something called vaccidents, first coined by Cliff High. Vaccidents instead of accidents. People who have been vaxxed no longer drive safely like they did. And just as a little bit of proof, and I want to get Erica to comment on this, the U.S. announced that traffic fatalities, dead people, rose 12% in the first 9 months of last year over the year before. 12% increase to 31,720 dead. And probably by the end of the year, it was 40,000 plus. But that's the first 9 months of last year. Vaccidents. So what are you seeing when you go out? Drivers that what?
Yeah, I am seeing drivers that they almost appear to be drunk, and that their reflexes seem to be impaired somehow. I mean, they'll put on a blinker and not know where to turn. They maybe seem confused, as if they're lost or something. And I have seen a couple of what I would think were vaccidents. I mean, places where cars have gone off the road that, I mean, there was no reason for a car to be off the road. It wasn't a high flow area or high speed area, and yet there's a car in a ditch. I think some of these people are impaired to the point where they probably shouldn't be behind a wheel.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so all of you out there, be extra careful, vaxxed and unvaxxed. Just be extra careful when you're driving. Give a little more room. Don't crowd. Use your turn signal. And as far as a mask goes, don't wear a mask in the car.
No. But, I mean, these people are, I mean, it's no joke, because they are at risk of seizures or strokes at any time.
Just like airline pilots.
Yep.
Okay, let's move on to listen to now a world-renowned hero, a true fighter for good, John O'Looney, the UK funeral director. So we'll listen to some of this interview. It's about a 30-minute interview. And if you look under guests, you'll find these links are posted. So here we go.
Well, we're very pleased to have John O'Looney. He's a funeral director who runs the Milton Keynes Family Funeral Services in Milton Keynes, England. John, thank you very much for coming on today.
You're most welcome. You're most welcome. Thanks for having me on.
I think most of our viewers will be familiar with your viral interviews that you did at the end of summer and early fall, in which you gave some dire warnings. And you also mentioned that you were in contact with a group of experts. And they said that we'd be seeing huge increases in deaths in October, November, and December. And right now we're in the middle of the cold and flu season. So have current events confirmed your fears from that time?
Yeah, definitely. So what we're seeing is an ever-growing number, particularly of thrombosis deaths, interestingly. So that comes across as heart attack, aneurysm, or stroke. And they're in unprecedented numbers. I've never seen as many deaths. And not in just the elderly, but in all manner of people, people in their 20s, people in their 30s and 40s. People that wouldn't normally be dying, and this was predicted and it's come to pass. So,
right. I listened to a recent interview and you said that you've seen more thrombosis death this year than the previous 14 years. When you say that, do you mean the previous 14 years combined or a greater amount than any one of those 14 years?
A greater amount than any one of those 14 years ever.
Yeah.
The increase is phenomenal, though. It's not a two or three-fold increase. It's around 500 or 600% increase. that kind of number. And you generally, on the odd occasion you would get a thrombosis, it would be an elderly person. It's not people in their 20s and 30s and 40s, and they're all jabbed. I spoke to a couple of interesting people recently. One is an A&E nurse called Michelle, and she tells me that 9 out of 10 patients presenting at A&E are breathless, and they are vaccine recipients. And the reason for their presenting is they've got blood clots in them. So they give them a quick x-ray, and if the blood clots are on their chest, they'll consider admitting them. And if they don't, if they're not on the chest and they're in a limb, then they'll send them home. Well, what inevitably happens then is these people, the clot moves from the limb to, you know, either the heart or the neck, and these people die. And I've got friends locally that work for the coroner, and they're run off their feet because they're having to go out and keep picking these people up at home who've died very suddenly from a thrombosis.
Now, are you, as an undertaker, are you privy to all the coroner or doctor reports of death? Is there a death certificate for each body that comes in?
So not always, because as a funeral director, I don't need to see the death certificate, but what I do see is the coroner's paperwork. So wherever there's a sudden death, the coroner is involved, and he writes what's called a Form 6. And part of my job as a funeral director is to collate the paperwork and to collate the application for cremation, because the vast majority of funerals in the UK are cremation. They're you know, probably, I'd say about 5% of burials, and that tends to be a cultural thing, you know. So, and I see this paperwork, and I have to go through this paperwork and check this paperwork and make sure it's correct. So I see the cause of death because it's written down by the coroner, and sent, it's emailed to me. So I then print it off, check through it, and if there's a problem or there's a mistake on it, I would get back to the coroner and get it resent, you know.
Right, right. Are there any coroners who are whistleblowing as you are?
No, because they'll lose their careers. Very interestingly, I've been putting pressure on the chief coroner, because I didn't want to put my local coroner on the spot, because they know what's going on, you know. Right. He's a good guy. He's a good guy, my local coroner. They're good people, and I don't doubt they know what's going on. They see the vast increase in thrombosis deaths. For example, we all see it. You know, look at all the young footballers, the FIFA footballers that are dropping down
yes.
on slides at the moment. These are people in the peak of perfect physical fitness and perfection. You know, why are they dying? Why are they dropping down? I think something like 108 have died in the last 6 months, registered players and trainers. You know, FIFA registered players and trainers. That's just not normal.
Right, right. In addition to these thrombosis deaths, you mention, in fact, in a very recent video, you mentioned the attack on the immune system that this vaccine is causing.
Yeah, so I wasn't really aware of that, but until I attended a meeting in September. So the phone rang in September, and I was invited to a meeting in Westminster, an address in Birdcage Walk, number one Birdcage Walk. At this meeting, there were about 18 of the it was reported as a group of anti-vaxxers. Right. These were people of the caliber of Professor Dolores Cahill, Dr. Tess Laurie, Dr. Sukrit Bhakdi. You know, these are not anti-vaxxers. These are people who have built their careers on this science. And they're at the very top of their game. There was, like I say, about 18 of them. We were given audience to meet with a guy called Sir Graham Brady, who's the commissioner of the 1922 committee. So he's a very senior Tory politician. Yeah, you know, very senior. And we all gave testimony. We introduced ourselves, and we all had 5-10 minutes to speak and voice our concerns. And it was felt once he left the room that he knew. He was, does that mean he's complicit? He said he would do what he can, but his hands are tied and they couldn't promise anything. And do you know what? Nothing's changed. They're still pressing on and injecting children in schools. It was put to Sir Graham that 70% of the children vaccinated would be sterilized as a side effect of these jabs. And Wad's reams of science was put on the table to verify what they were saying, to support what they were saying. And you have to remember that people like Dolores, for example, she was advising the British government in her 20s. You know, she's a very, 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 she's a genius. Tess Lowry, she's a genius in her field. They're all in their respective fields. They know what they're talking about, you know, but they're not on the pharma payroll and they're not on the government payroll. So they're discredited. He was told that many children would die from myocardia and that up to 70% would be sterilized. And I was shocked because that wasn't obviously something I knew, you know, and he knew what I know from my field as an undertaker. So it was also mentioned about the damage being done to the immune system. And that would be progressively over time. And the science was explained. In that over 2 years, your body cells regenerate and the new cells that regenerate after you've been injected will carry a new instruction. And that new instruction will turn your immune system on you. It primes it. So, you know, it kind of slowly depletes you. And the symptoms of that obviously are sickness and illness. And there's your COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a COVID. There is a COVID. There is a virus out there. And I've spoke to many people, and I've had it myself. So it is out there, but it is recoverable. It's not this deadly pandemic. It's not something that requires an experimental gene therapy every 12 weeks for the next 5 years.
Or a complete shutdown of the economy.
Yeah, well, that's deliberate, isn't it? That's deliberate. Because in the UK, I know... I mean, I don't know. I can't follow world events. I've got far too much on. But for example, in the UK, there are 400,000 small businesses that have been deliberately destroyed by the government. And yet there are 600 new billionaires.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, it's there, isn't it? And I think it's very interesting because they keep making really big mistakes. And one of the hugest mistakes they showed recently, they're clearly trying to get rid of Boris Johnson. That they've, you know, the media assassination is well underway. And one of the things they showed was all of the ministers having the Christmas party and dancing maskless last Christmas. Now, that's going to destroy his credibility as Prime Minister. But what it also does is it tells you that every minister in that room knew the truth. And there was no risk. So they kind of dropped a bollock there because, you know, people can see that. None of them were bothered.
Right.
So they all knew. They were all complicit in a terrible lie, you know. Yeah. But people just don't seem to always want to see through the truth. You know, they kind of they do as they're told to do, don't they?
Yep.
Okay. We're going to stop it right there. That's about 10 minutes in. It's up on the right side of the homepage. You'll see it. It's about four or five entries down. Look for the alleged spike protein drawing down there. It's an animated. I've got three of them up there anyway. You'll see it. John O'Looney. Listen to the whole thing. Share it. Spread it around. Very important. What a brave man. As most of you know, if you've been following us and following John's near miss with death, they had him in the hospital and there was no doubt they wanted him dead, and he was able, through the good graces of his friends and maybe some divine intervention, to get out. But I think you can see why they don't want this man talking. He is so honest and articulate. It is it's inspiring is what it is to me, and I'm sure for Erica too.
Yeah, it's absolutely shocking though that he's really the only one in terms of the, you know, undertaking business to come out and speak about this.
They're
Talk
all
about brave.
Owned that exactly. They're all owned by big corporations now. There are very few family owned funeral homes anymore. And they have family names, but they're owned by massive corporations. And that's part of the problem. You step out of line, your career is done. Period. All right. Now I want to go back to the actual bioweapon itself. And Erica has done a lot of research into the field of lipid nanoparticles. This is very important. And the toxic and carcinogenic lipid nanoparticles are in these bioweapons. You must understand that. Erica, go ahead.
Well, this topic comes up periodically when you look at the ingredients of the mRNA platforms, which is the Pfizer and the Moderna right now. And in order for them to get the mRNA into your body, into a cell, without it being destroyed or degraded prematurely, they have to put it into some kind of protective carrier. And they use these lipid nanoparticles to encapsulate the mRNA. The problem with these lipids is they're synthetic, but that's not the worst. They're ionizable, but when they break apart, they become positively charged. And in that positively charged state, they're extremely toxic, to the point of being carcinogenic. Now, Pfizer and Moderna use different types of lipid nanoparticles, but they're basically in the same principle. And you can look at their material safety data sheets, which a number of companies actually make these lipid nanoparticles for the purposes of research. They are not intended to be used for pharmaceuticals. They're really only for research purposes only. And they do have a warning on them, at least the Moderna one, which is known as SM, Sally Mary 102. It's got a skull and crossbones on it, and it's known as a class 1A carcinogen, meaning it is known to cause cancer.
Class 1A. Let me point out again, just look underneath and in guests, and you'll see a lot of data there. It's just, so share that too. Yeah, we've looked at the papers. I'm not seeing it up there right now. I will put it up later so you'll be able to see. The skull and crossbones are right there. It's right there.
Yep.
And yet they put this stuff in every single injection of this bioweapon. And in each injection, there are approximately how many mRNA spike protein packets in each injection? 500? 500. 500 trillion packets in each bioweapon injection. Go ahead.
So, yeah, these lipid nanoparticles have been a subject of controversy right from the beginning. In fact, it was a group in Germany that tried to get the Pfizer vax, I guess, you know, take away their EUA, whatever it is they're calling it over there, because due to the toxicity of these lipid nanoparticles. They know that. But the European Medicine Association declared that, no, these were approved on the basis of their overall safety and not by the components, the individual components, so they're fine. So they're still on the market. But no, in the animal studies, they know that these things are cytotoxic and carcinogenic, and yet you're being injected with them. And is this possibly one of the reasons why we have runaway cancer all of a sudden? I mean, these things will damage cell membranes, of which, you know, you have the exterior of a cell membrane, but you also have membranes inside your cell, all the different organelles, including the nucleus. And these things will damage all of that. So there you go, class 1A carcinogen in your vaccine. But don't worry, it's safe.
Don't worry, it's safe. The number of people who have literally dropped over dead, died within a few days, died within a few months. It seems to be 6 to 9 months at the outside, and you began, if you got a real shot, and there were a lot of placebos given out early on, if you got a real dose of these bioweapons, 6 to 9 months, in most cases, you're going to manifest very severe symptoms, clotting primarily, but all manners of things. And the idea of cancer, a pandemic of cancer, must be kept firmly in mind now. That's where we are. And when you hear the term VAIDS, V-A-I-D-S, i.e. the vaccine-induced AIDS, it's not HIV AIDS, it's AIDS. your immune system is toast. That's what it means. And you don't have any way to normally fight cancers, tumors, or anything of that sort. It's over. It's done.
That's certainly what it's looking like. This dysregulation that happens upon these injections, it doesn't look like it's reversible. So, you know, the immune system is being trained to deal with this spike protein perpetually and really nothing else. And portions of the immune system wear out, become exhausted, depleted. And it doesn't have the flexibility to respond to other threats, of which there are many. You know, we live in a world of microbes. So without an immune system, you're at a real disadvantage.
You're dead.
Eventually.
I remember the Department of Defense in 1963? I want to say three. It might have been 1962. The Department of Defense went before a congressional DOD subcommittee and asked for, I think it was $15 million, to build a new pathogen, see, we lost you again. That's 10 out of 11, or 10 out of 12. We'll get it right back. To build a new pathogen that would be, in their words, refractory to the immunological functions upon which we depend to remain free of disease and healthy. That's 10 out of 12 times, Erica.
I think.
Okay, I just went over the House subcommittee hearing where the DOD asked for, I think it was $15 million, to build a pathogen which would be refractory to our immune systems. In other words, it would destroy our immune system. This is 1962 or 63. Needless to say, they got the money. They went ahead and built what they wanted, and they built everything they've wanted ever since. And then we eventually had AIDS, and we're going to get AIDS again now. AIDS meaning acquired immunodeficiency syndrome, AIDS, AIDS. You're seeing it already. What did
well,
the Germans find
thing.
Out? One quickie. What did the Germans find out after everyone they tested who had had two shots that they only had 12.3% of their immune systems left? That's it. After
yep.
two shots. That's it. Go ahead.
Well, the frightening thing is some part of this seems to be transmissible. I mean, you have unvaxxed people that, you know, when they're spending time in proximity to the vaxxed, they appear to be suffering some degree of immune suppression as well. I mean, as is evidenced by the explosion of shingles we're now having, both in the vaxxed and the unvaxxed. Now, shingles isn't typically contagious. If you've had chickenpox as a child, you're essentially immune. So if you're getting shingles as an adult, it's simply a reactivation of that original virus. So that suggests that people's immune systems are faltering right now. Why?
Have we any evidence of any immune system recovering after this bioweapon has attacked it?
I think the jury's still out on that.
We'll have to wait and see. Other question. Does getting severe shingles after you've been injected with the bioweapon or shed upon, does that mean you're necessarily going to end up with cancer as well?
Sure hope not, but I don't know. I mean, time will tell. I mean, it is an indication that the immune system is stressed at the very least.
12% left after two shots in Germany. That's what they found out. 12% of your immune system, 88% gone. And if they tested another week later, it might have been 9% left. I don't know. But you got to think about these things. And when you're out and about, keep your distance from other people. It's common sense. And I will tell you, I wear a mask now. And I don't view it as infringing on my freedom anymore. I view it as common sense. Because a lot of this stuff is airborne.
I think it's prudent to be careful at this point, because we don't know if some portion of this is transmissible, the immune suppressive aspect of it.
Oh, amazing. All right, so much to cover. We'll stay with it three times a week for you. We'll be back on Friday already, Zoom. Erica, thank you, and congratulations on our anniversary, 1 year.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. It's been a pleasure.
Okay. All right,
we'll
everyone.
We'll go for another year.
Yeah.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you for being here all, and back in 21 hours. Talk to you then.